Rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That is Revelation chapter 20:15, and we are unpacking the beauties of the book of life today as we look at Genesis chapter 5. Well, we're thankful you've taken time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace, and we invite you to go to the website at aagradio.org. Many resources there for you, and we want you to explore that website. Write to us. There's a form there that you can submit. We're working hard to make that website a blessing for you. Well, if you were with us yesterday, you know that we began a study in Genesis chapter 5, which I've called The World That Then Was, and that'll be posted up on the website, so do please make use of that. The World That Then Was, and today is part two of that, where essentially we come to, in chapter 5, this book of the genealogy of Adam. And I compared that yesterday, showing that what we essentially have here is a kind of book of life that appears before the judgment upon the world that then was. Now remember, this is very important, that Peter divides human existence into these two worlds. There was the world that then existed before the flood, that was flooded by God's wrath, and then there is the world that now is, that is reserved for fire. And so these two worlds in the New Testament are contrasted, but they're also compared and set alongside one another so that we would learn, we would understand what is going to take place before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Jesus even said this much: so as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They were just living it up, and they totally disregarded the Lord, and one day the flood came. So it will be when Jesus comes in all of his glory. So we've seen this contrast in Genesis chapter 4 and 5, where in chapter 4, we have shown to us the development of sin in the line of Cain and how wicked it got. We saw in chapter 4 terrible things of moral corruption, cultural corruption, intensifying to the point where this wicked Lamech rises up and completely overthrows the justice system that God had established. He murders a man for bruising him. God had established justice. There couldn't just be vigilante, lawless taking of justice and punishment into one's own hands. And so we see how bad it got in the city of man. Well, that's what makes chapter 5 so beautiful. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. And we're shown here God's godly remnant on the earth. It's a book of names. And when we open up the book of Revelation, I said yesterday, you know, there are two books that show up on the last day. There is the book that is a record book of all the lawless deeds that people have done against the Lord. And it's a scary thing. Every last thought, word, and deed is being recorded in heaven. And if you're honest with your life, dear listener, oh, that's a terrible thing that you're going to have to face on that day, when you stand there and have to give an account for all of the evil deeds you've done. And this is why the Christian gospel is, you can escape that. Listen, you can escape that. You don't have to go there. We're announcing good news. That's what gospel means. The evangel, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who's come to live and to die and rose the third day so that all who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is what we're announcing, and the Lord is contrasting and comparing and showing us how this first world that then was existed, and how the same lawlessness, and it got worse and worse. And if anyone is following what's going on in our world, things are getting worse and worse. But we're encouraged in the midst of this that there's another book. And this book doesn't have recorded all the lawless deeds of people. It only has recorded names. These are the names of God's sheep. These are the names of his people. This is his people in the earth in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And Christ is our King. His kingdom endures forever. The kingdoms of this world come and go. They face what we call the cycle of iniquity. They get worse and worse until God judges them. But here we see a people who cannot have that taken. And Genesis 5 is so beautiful because it's highlighting certain figures to tell us this story. And there's one figure that we began studying yesterday. It's as if God takes a giant spotlight and he shines it down on a few of these figures so that we would be encouraged. And one of these figures that glares in the text is a man by the name of Enoch. We read that Jared begot Enoch. Now, the Old Testament doesn't say a whole lot about Enoch, but New Testament writers were very impacted by the life of Enoch. In fact, in the little book of Jude, right before the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, the Apocalypse, this is a book on apostasy. This is a book on lawlessness, and Jude warns, but the figure that he uses as an example was Enoch, the seventh from Adam. And there we looked at yesterday, he was contrasted from the seventh from Adam in the Canaanite side, Cain's side, the man who was Lamech, who lawlessly opposed God and overthrew justice. And I believe the Lord wants us to consider the contrast. This is where it all comes clear, doesn't it? I mean, compare the two worlds, the world that then was, the world that now is. Think of the differences here, but think of the similarities. The difference being the judgment was at that time one of water. God puts up a rainbow, says, I'll never do that again. The final judgment is by fire. But the similarities of what went on are paralleled and shown. It's really powerful. God was raising up preachers. Same thing was said of Noah. Peter says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They were gospelers. They were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the good news. They were telling people to turn and live and to find life in the promised seed who is Christ. But that's not all they said. And I suppose that's why this is so important for us to study today. Listen to Jude. It was also about these. It was also said about these. This is Enoch. The seventh from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch was a preacher. You know, if you could highlight the words and the focus of most sermons of our day, what would be the general thrust of most of the sermons? Love, peace, peace, happiness, tolerance, acceptance. Let me tell you Enoch's sermons. Ready? Ungodly, 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 ungodly. Four times Jude says it. He was a preacher who gave the full message. And that's what you want to say today to people. When you say God is love, amen, God is love, but he's also just. And to say God is love, that's half of the message. We also have to talk about God's righteous judgment. And if we're not, then we're false teachers. How balanced is your pastor, dear listener? How balanced is the message? Is it just a good old time with the good old boys hanging out, drinking coffee and lattes and hitting away on the drums? Is that what this is? Enoch warned of idolatry. He warned of what the love of violence was doing to people. He condemned false gods and he said, the Lord is coming. Come to him. Turn to him. In the midst of this, we saw God raising up preachers in Genesis 5 who were prophesying of these things, saying this judgment was coming, and that they were announcing a flood was soon to come upon the earth. I can imagine this. Enoch stood up and said, a day of flood is coming. And how do you think that was received? I'll come back to that. They're not the only ones mentioned crying out in this chapter. I want to probe this thought for a minute. Think about this, dear listener. The Lamech on Cain's side shouts out against God. But there's a godly Lamech on the Seth side. And remember, human existence, there's two peoples in the earth. That's why the seed promise was made in Genesis, that two distinct peoples, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. Jesus said, there are the children of God and the children of the devil. Two seeds on the earth. Notice what it says in verse 28. Lamech lived 182 years and he had a son and called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. There is presented to us here a simple saint, a layman, crying out and trusting the promise, believing that Noah, of that promised seed, whose name probably means rest, that Noah would bring comfort. He's trusting in the promise made to Eve, crying out. Why is he crying out? Because of the curse, because of what sin has brought on the world. And there lies the contrast of the two peoples in the earth. There's the difference. Genesis 5 is showing us between the two seeds, between the two cities, between these kingdoms. What are the preachers saying? Be saved from this perverse generation. Come to Christ. Behold, Jesus is coming. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. He is coming to judge. It's going to happen. But there is a gospel. There is good news. There's a way of escape. But don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in this sad world, in economies, in the United States. Ungodly, ungodly. But when it turns to you, how does the Lord characterize? These are the preachers who are supposed to do what their job is and preach. This is what the Lord says of preachers, but he also characterizes the people in this struggle. How are they represented? Well, they're represented as Lamech, groaning, inwardly groaning for what? Well, Romans 8 told us that the creation groans, wanting to be renewed. And what do we do? Just like the creation, we groan inwardly over all of the sorrows. It's hard here. It is hard here. And these people lived many years, eagerly waiting for the adoption. Think about that. We are awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body from this curse. And the Spirit himself groans, making intercession for us with prayers, because often when we face these sorrows, we don't even know what to pray. It's hard. We cry out, don't we? We cry out in this country as Christians that babies are slaughtered. We cry out over abortion. It hurts. These are people made in God's image, and we're killing. We cry out over the corruption, the mass corruption we see all around us. We cry out in the justice systems, when the justice systems are legalizing things that are against basic morality and natural law. We look at the courts, we look at the murder, we look at the sexual promiscuity. We look at a society running rampant, drugs everywhere. And the message still is the same. It's ungodly. And we groan inwardly. And we're trying to raise a godly seed on the earth. And we bear so much burden. And you can hardly even handle TV today. Not because TVs are wrong, but because of what it's become. What was it, last fall? One of the top programs was The Modern Family. Features the lives of families. And it shows the perversity and the sexual morality. What was another one? The Big Bang Theory? And what does the world do with our message as we say this is ungodly? Well, Peter tells us, first of all, you must understand, this is 2 Peter chapter 3, that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. There's no judgment coming. That's the attitude. That's the spirit that prevails in our time, doesn't it? And there's a contrast here. In the midst of all of this, God shines a bright light to encourage us. What's my favorite part of Genesis 5? What's your favorite part of Genesis 5? Look again at verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and was not, for he was taken. Most people look at Enoch and think this was just a superior believer in piety and godliness. Well, that's true. He was godly. But that's not what the text is saying. Enoch was a particular kind of encouragement to the community at that time. All they saw was death. Notice how over and over we read, they died. They died. They were living in a world full of sin and hardship. They're presented as crying out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord?" And one day God takes Enoch, this preacher. And I believe the Lord wants to encourage us through this figure. He encouraged them not to lose heart. But he's a type of Christ who the Lord died and rose again and is in heaven seated. And he is coming again to take us to be with him. And this whole picture here that Enoch walked with God for 300 years, it was a long walk. What does it highlight about his life? Here's what Hebrews says. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. And before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Enoch lived a life of faith. He trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and the promise that he would come. And one day God took him. Now that's not supporting some pre-tribulational rapture of the church. So some people try to do with this. This was declaring something. What was the message? The taking of Enoch must have been glorious. What kind of effect do you think it had on them who saw? You have this ominous phrase after each one, and they died, and they died, and they died. Here was light. God proclaimed through Enoch that by faith in Jesus Christ, there's life, there's resurrection, there's a heavenly home beyond this one. And all of this told the world around them that for those in Christ, there's hope beyond the grave, there's life. There's a great separation coming. That's the crucial point. And that's what Christ himself said, that at the very end, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. There will be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. What is the Lord saying? There will be a separation. This is not forever. And if you're a believer today, aren't you thankful? I'm glad I'm not living 969 years on this sad world. It's not going to be forever. When Christ comes or when we die, we're taken. And we will be gathered to him, and we will always be with the Lord in glory. And you know, I want us to think about this in closing today. There's one figure I want to close with. It's Enoch's son, Methuselah. The most common agreed upon meaning of the name is, after he dies, it comes. Now, that means that God prophetically revealed to Enoch that when his son died, the flood would come. The oldest living man in the Bible is this Methuselah, 969, to tell us God is long-suffering, isn't he? He doesn't desire the death of the wicked, but that they should turn and live. He's not willing that any of his elect sheep would perish. Every last one of them will come in. It's so comforting. In chapter 6, we learn that God says there will be only 120 years until the flood. Methuselah was 850. I want you to think about this. Think about this as one pastor described this. Methuselah was 850. Noah begins building the ark. Listen to how this pastor describes the event. The crowds gather to scoff. Methuselah turns 900. Noah lays the heel, constructs the ribbing, fits the sides. The crowds were smaller because the novelty had wore off. 910, 920, 930, 940, 950, 960. Noah had long since finished the outside. He laid the decks. The crowd was totally gone, marrying and drinking and giving in marriage, as Jesus said. 965, the ark's almost finished. 966, 967, 968, the food is brought on now to the ark. 969, all the animals. The ark was finished. The animals were now taken on in their pairs. Methuselah dies. God shuts the door of the ark. The flood came. Enoch was not and was taken. A way of escape was proclaimed. You can have this escape too, dear listener. Flee to Christ. Think about what the New Testament is telling us. All of that already happened. It's all going to happen again. Later in history, this prophet rises up. Think of where we are. Enochs have prophesied the final judgment for 2,000 years since the cross. God has raised up preachers who have been saying it. Yeah, the false teachers abound today. There are false teachers of the devil who aren't preaching it. I know that. But there are preachers preaching it. The day of Methuselah is set in God's time clock, and there is a judgment coming. I know you feel the painful toil of living in a world that is not your home if you're a Christian. I know the grief and worry, but the Lord wants us here to remember something. We are here as his witnesses to this sad world. But don't forget something, that no matter how bad things get here, he has assured his believing people they will not die but live. When Christ comes, you will be separated. If your body's in the grave, it will be resurrected. You'll get a brand new body. And you'll be reunited with your soul that is with the Lord. And thus we will always be with the Lord. In the morning, our ways will part from this sad world and the wicked who exist in it. Genesis 5 tells us something, that God is faithful amidst a perverse and crooked generation to keep his sheep. And so we can be comforted. For as Jesus said, if these days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, they will be shortened. Cling to Christ. I say that today on Abounding Grace. Cling to Christ. If you're a believer, praise him for the grace that he has shown to you. If you're not a believer, come today. Come and meet with the saints and worship this God. Come out of the world. Come out of Babylon. Worship and call upon the name of the Lord, and he will hear you. And remember that we are to be in the earth a worshiping community, maintaining his witness, being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And as we cry up daily to the Lord, how long, O Lord, holy and true? As we raise that question, the Lord says to us, wait just a bit longer for the rest of your brethren to come in, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. We should be comforted with these words. I leave you with the words today of 2 Peter 3. Know this, that in the last days scoffers will come, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God? May, dear listener, we all be ready for the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio can be visited at agradio.org to learn more about who we are, what we believe, download podcasts, maps to churches, and a form for submission if you'd like to write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Well, thanks for taking time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.